Chevalier in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com, and you are listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us via the magics of the telephone yet again is Colin Burton of fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
And a rare occurrence, it's the second time in 3 weeks, it's my wife, Heather Knight.
Hello.
And we're not going to talk about the football pick'ems at all this episode.
Yay.
Because currently, as we speak, as we're recording this on Monday night,
Cardinals are beating the Bears.
That we just did not foresee. We interrupt this podcast with breaking news. Well, not even really breaking news, but the Cardinals did not end up beating the Chicago Bears on Monday night football. As we all know, the hapless Cardinals fell to an almost inept Chicago Bears team 24-23 because Neil Rackers missed a 40-yard field goal. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast. So we're just not going to talk about that. But what we are going to talk about is being fat. And you know what? Here on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, we know being fat. We know what it's like to be fat. At least I know. How about you, Colin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all have experience in the fat column.
Shut up, skinny.
Oh, bite me.
And what really spurred this on in my mind was the fact that not too long ago, it was a couple of weeks ago maybe, I had bought a Reese's peanut butter cup, the little two-pack, the Reese's peanut butter cup two-pack that you can buy from the vending machine across the way. There's no longer a vending machine that sells any sort of treats or anything. It's just vacant in the agency where Colin and I work. But across the way, in the building next door, there is a vending machine. And every now and then, if I'm really, really hungry, I'll buy something from there. And I bought Reese's peanut butter cup two-pack. And inside that, I never really paid attention to the fine print. But inside that two-pack, it said, candy is a treat to be enjoyed in moderation. What is unsaid is Reese's, and what's the parent company of Reese's? Is that Hershey?
I think so.
You know, why should we check facts?
Yeah,
assumption that Reese's is owned by Hershey. What is unsaid is that they're just like, hey, fat ass, put the candy down and go find some bread or something, you know, something that's a little bit more healthy for you. What are you doing eating so goddamn much candy, fat ass?
Yeah, they should add, if you've read this message 3 times a day, slow down.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe you should put it down and go find something a little bit more healthy. And another thing that we hear a lot about in the news is the obesity epidemic, where so many people are so fat. And one of the things that I read about in the newspaper yesterday was how some schools are utilizing special computer systems hooked up to the registers in the lunchroom to make sure that little tiny fat chops kids aren't buying foods that are on their restricted list. It's kind of Skinner conditioning. The parents get the control over what is restricted in the kid's diet. The kid is too fat, or I guess it would be a doctor or whatever. And they showed this poor little fat kid who couldn't get what he wanted in the picture. Oh, poor fat kid. But they have these cards, and the parents put what restricted foods are on the restricted list, and if they buy anything that's restricted at the end of the line, the card gets swiped. And
do they tackle them?
I assume an alarm goes off, like, fat, fat, fat. And it's like Skinner conditioning. Eventually, they just don't want the humiliation of being told, you can't have that, you're too fat. And they learn to not buy the foods that are on their restricted list. And, you know, if you try to legislate health and, you know, legislate away obesity, I think you're going to fail miserably, because last time I checked, in this country, we still have free will.
Yeah, but they're working on that.
Yeah.
I guess they are
working on that.
One of the things that you sent me a long time ago, Colin, and I enjoyed very much, it's somebody else's blog, and why should I give them credit? You know, it's just somebody else's blog, and they were talking about a soap creature, a saponification. Some fat lady from the 1800s had been dug up, and because of all the fat on her body and you know, whatever conditions were present in her coffin or her burial, it was found that she had saponificated,
right?
Which means that all her fat had turned to tallow, which had turned to soap. So she was a giant soap monster. And that's not as much of consideration as one of this guy's comments was that he assumed that in the olden days people wouldn't get fat because all you had to do was stay, you know, fat, you stay not fat enough to chase around a chicken so that you could eat. And if you got too fat to chase that chicken, you've just lied down until you lost enough weight that you could get back up and chase around that chicken. But apparently people were fat in the 1800s. They're fat now. And I don't think that just saying, okay, you can't have a Snickers bar, but you can eat a double portion of, you know, chicken parmesan, I don't think that's going
to
help.
Well, here's the thing for the 1800s you have to also consider is people had people to chase down chickens for them. The chicken chasers were skinny. It's the people that that were given the chickens that grew fat.
Well, imagine if you and I had a job chasing squirrels.
Yeah.
How not so fat we'd be. Those fuckers are fast.
Yeah, but they're too fast to chase. You just kind of have to trap them.
Before we get,
put a peanut in your lap and sit real still.
So you're already thinking of ways around the chasing.
Hey, yeah.
Just hold out some nuts in your hand and sit really still.
Well, before we get to the hold some nuts out in your hand and sit really still, Colin, why did you choose to put the peanut in your lap, Colin?
Well, that way he'd be right there and you can grab him real easy. You don't have to reach very far.
And plus you could crush him with your massive thighs.
Exactly, if you have to. You know, whatever it takes.
Okay, so before we get to away from the fat topic and onto a blogging topic.
Okay.
The Penn Jillette Show is having a wee contest, and I think that you should win, Colin.
It's having a what contest?
A contest. I said wee contest,
oh,
not as not in the not as like piss, but as wee as in small.
A little contest?
Wee as in small.
Pissing contest.
Yeah, we're going to get into a pissing contest with the Penn Jillette Show. No, have you ever watched the television program 24?
I watched the first season and part of the second. Why?
I haven't watched any of it, but apparently him and his wife and all of their showbiz pals are big 24 fans, and they're going to have a watching party for the next new season or some such nonsense. I don't know all the details, but one lucky listener to his show potentially will get to be at this watching party, and I'm advocating for you to be at this watching party.
Okay,
and
why
is that?
Why? Because Colin has never been to Vegas.
Ooh, yeah, it'd be
I mean,
a free
you
trip.
And I, you and I, we get to go to Vegas pretty
multiple
much. I mean, by comparison
here.
To Colin, all the goddamn time we're in Las Vegas. Poor mild-mannered Colin Burton has never once tasted the fruits of Sin City, and what better way to taste the fruits of Sin City than for your first
himself.
Visit? To be hanging out with the devil himself. Of course, if you call Penn Jillette the devil himself, he'll point out that he doesn't believe that the devil exists.
Sure.
But how cool would that be, Colin? You'd get a tour of the Slammer, which is his home. You'd get to watch an entire season of a show featuring Kiefer Sutherland kicking people's ass in his passive-aggressive way. I guess it would be a really aggressive-aggressive way, because I've never really watched the show.
Uh-huh.
You'd get to meet his kids and his wife. And I'm not – I mean, you'd get a limo ride from the airport, I'm sure. I mean, I don't – I'm just making this up now. I don't think he'd pay for your airfare, but here's the deal. Here's the clincher.
Okay.
I'm going to send this clip, this soundbite in as your intro, and here's the clincher. I'm pretty sure he's not going to pay your airfare. So if he chooses you as your Christmas present, I will pay your airfare.
Really?
Wow.
I will. Tight ass,
yeah,
frugal asshole Derek Knight
will actually pay for somebody else's.
Will pay Colin Burton's airfare to get to Las Vegas, Nevada, if he's chosen as the lucky one who gets to hang out with Penn Jillette at the watching party.
Of course, you do realize you'll have to take like a camera, you know, and yada yada, because I think Derek would be a little disappointed to not go.
Oh no, no. I'm advocating Colin going. So therefore, I am giving up any right to be disappointed to not go. I'm not throwing my proverbial hat in the ring for this at all.
So would anybody else be able to go with me? I'm thinking specifically of Heather because...
Well, I know who you want to bring, and I'm going to say no, she doesn't get to go.
Oh, you're so mean.
I don't know if
he'll pay for your airfare, but not his sister's.
Yeah, it's one airfare.
Spend for yourself.
One airfare here. I mean,
put a disclaimer.
I'm not made of monies.
Yeah.
Here. If you
He's lying. If you shake him hard enough, monies fall out of
What's
him.
What's that?
You seem pretty confident that I'm going to win, then.
Actually, if you know me at all, I'm pretty confident that you won't win offering to pay airfare.
I see.
But
then you may as well offer to pay for Heather, too. I mean,
no.
Then you'll win, and then you'll be screwed.
See, I'm only paying – I'll offer to pay one airfare. But before we move on to another topic here on the Big Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, do you or do you not want to go to Las Vegas?
Yeah, but I really wanted to go with Heather.
Oh, you pansy ass. Okay, fine. Well,
I'm not a pansy. I guess
that's –
So maybe you plea that he sends two plane tickets.
So, okay, well, so make your plea right now. Make your plea. Not for me to pay, but for Penn Jillette.
Make my plea.
Make your plea. Maybe Penn and Michael Godot. I mean, you're going to be able to – you're going to be hanging out with superstars of the variety arts industry. Michael Godot. What's his name? Penn Jillette.
What's his name?
Well, it would be absolutely awesome if –
If I get to bring my girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, because I really wanted to go for the first time with her. So.
Well, we'll see. Good luck.
Oh,
I'll send this clip in and see what happens.
Yeah, I can't wait for.
Yeah, and speaking of blogs, because we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was that noise?
What noise?
Did your phone just catch on fire?
No, why? What noise?
Seriously,
sounded like a toilet flushing.
Oh, what the hell are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. There hasn't been any noise over here.
Uh huh.
I think you're just hearing.
So anyway. This is an item that you found, what, on Boing Boing today?
Yeah, it was on Boing Boing.
It was on Boing Boing.
It might have been from the weekend, but...
Yeah. The Restored Church of God, whose name would suggest that at some point this particular church got all dicked up, but was then later restored to its former glory. I'd really... wonder what kind of happened with that. But anyhow, the Restored Church of God says that blogging, categorically, is bad. Bad bloggers. Stop expressing yourself. Stop being so shallow and trashy. And in a bit more detail, here's more of what the Not As Dicked Up As Before Church of God says about de blogging. And the title of this article is Blogs and God Youth. It's the title. It was featured in the October 2006 issue of Ambassador Youth, whose motto, surprisingly enough, is Developing Leaders for the World Tomorrow. And I'm not kidding. I'm not misreading it. There is no of in that sentence. Developing Leaders for the World Tomorrow. What this means, I'm taking from just this motto, is that the Restored Church of God collectively are just a bunch of procrastinators. Develop leaders for the world? Can't we put that off until tomorrow? I mean,
well,
do we have to do it today? I mean,
it's only a day away.
It's only a day away. So anyhow, here's some of them details that you crazy kids crave so much. The article says that the blogosphere, in quotes, enables people to share daily journals, photographs, and audio instantly. Huh? But should teenagers and others in the church express themselves, also in quotes, to the world through blogs? And this is authored...
They're just trying to express themselves.
This is authored by Kevin D. Denis. It's not the Denis you would think. It's not the French Denis. It's like some weak-ass English Denis. D-E-N-E-E. It's like Denis, de foot, de shin.
Is he talking about expressing himself in a pornographic way, or just...
Well, let me tell you something. I have a feeling that this man has never stepped outside the cultish compound where he must reside. I'm not sure he's ever actually been outside. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked and amazed by what he writes. And we'll give Kevin D. Denis proper credit, because I can't give anybody else credit, but Kevin... He gets credit. Anyhow, Kevin tells us that in the last 5 years, a new phenomenon.
Sorry. I couldn't help it.
Phenomena. Has developed. The internet. The internets have given birth, and it was a painful birth, to a world within a world. And now millions of people around the globe have their own websites. Dun, dun, dun. I got one.
Yeah.
You got one?
I got more than one.
Yeah, I got more than one, too. This is where we detail our lives, our interests, our opinions, our random thoughts, and much more. Mm-hmm. These personal webpages are called, dun-dun-dun, blogs, derived from the word weblog, a phenomenon that has coined the term blogosphere. One that I don't use. Outside of reading this, I have never used the term blogosphere. Have you?
Not really, no.
In nothing more than a condescending manner?
Yeah. I'm not even that fond of blog, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah, I like to call it mine a blog site thing. Blog site thing sounds so much
better.
It's
a blogosphere. Are we on a podosphere?
We are. We are currently broadcasting to the podzosphere.
How about a
podolips?
Can we be
there? You go.
Podolips.
The podolips. The is coming.
Podolips. Dude, so anyway, Kevin. Yes, we are podelliptical. So anyway, Kevin goes on to say that while many blogs, he means, were originally created for professional duties and jobs. For example, some journalists log their work for other professionals to read. I guess Kevin likes to get kudos from his fellow writers, if you could call Kevin that.
Mm-hmm.
Blogs have morphed into something...
Well, he is writing.
He is writing. This is true. He meets the minimum requirements for being called a writer.
To be honest, this thing is longer than anything I have ever written.
That's true. Mostly because I have too much respect for my audience to write something this pathetically pointless and long. But back to what he was saying, blogs have morphed into something far, far different. From ages 6 to 60, 61 want a blog out of luck, so says the mighty Kevin. Millions are starting their own blogs. Some parents want their children to blog so they can improve their writing skills. Well, good luck with that. Others want their college children... And I think that should be college-age children.
Yeah.
But Kevin calls them college children to blog so that they can keep tabs on their lives or lies away from home.
Yeah, because they're going to blog about their lies. Yeah.
Today I woke up, ate pizza, did not go to class.
Yeah, they're going to be honest.
Got drunk, puked.
got drunk, puked all over the bathroom. OMG, LOL. Websites hosting these or...
OMG. Okay, never mind. We'll get to that.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, we'll definitely get to that. But Kevin says, these are Kevin's words, not mine. I want everybody to understand that I am reading Kevin D. Denis' opinions. These are not the opinions of Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. Websites hosting these or similar pages are called social networks or online communities. Now, this is Kevin, remember. I'm channeling Kevin. I don't say these things. It's Kevin. Some examples are MySpace, Friendster, Bebo, or Facebook. Those who have a blog on the same network can interact in various and creative ways, like, LOL, you are so gay, OMG! This has become so popular that MySpace is one of the most well-known and frequently visited websites on the internets. He puts an exclamation point at the end of that. I added the S on internets.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So here are some of Kevin's thinks are some of the facts of how pervasive this plague or trend has become. He didn't say plague. I said plague. There are an estimated 40 to 70 million blogs on the internet. I have at least two. Colin has at least two.
Yeah. Sure.
Out of the 40 to 70 million blogs. As many as 75,000 blogs are created every day. That's almost one per second. And in my opinion, this is Derek again, almost as many are abandoned in the same span of time. You get these random stupid wasteland shit blog things that have like one pissed off entry full of youthful angst and then displaying the youthful exuberance and a penchant for, you know, forgetting to do shit. They just let it die. I think your brother is a prime example.
Or you know, their corporate shills or spam sites that are set up to try
That's
to sell
true.
Products.
That's true.
Crap like that.
Yeah, so these numbers that he pulls out of his arse are not necessarily, you know, accurately reflecting the state of blogging.
Well.
Some estimate, he says, and I think by some estimate, he means Kevin estimates, that the blogosphere is doubling in size every 200 days. I cry, can it sustain itself? Dear Lord, think of the children.
Well,
12 million go ahead.
I was just going to say, that math is probably checkable. I mean, if it's 75,000 a day.
Yes, but do you think that... Do you think that Kevin expects his readers to check his facts or just blindly follow him like sheep?
Well, if he's lucky, blindly follow like sheep.
Which I'm...
That is, I'm pretty sure it's the goal.
I'm pretty sure it's the goal, too. We'll find out more about that later.
Okay.
12 million teenagers, he says, create content online. And in my opinion, not much of their content is really worth a damn. According to a 2003 study, this is a three-year-old study, about half of all blogs are authored by teenagers. See my above comment. Doesn't matter. It's not worth a damn. Luckily, you and I fall in the other half.
Yeah.
Blogs that are authored by responsible adults.
Taxpaying adults.
That's right. Responsible yes. taxpayers who vote. You don't vote. Wait, do you vote?
I vote.
You vote. Oh, that's
yeah,
right. You just vote. You just usually vote the opposite of what I vote just to be a smartass.
No, it's just because you just happen to be wrong. But, you know, whatever.
That's a whole nother pod.
Oh, that's wrong. Yeah.
What?
At least one.
Obviously, you think I'm wrong. We'll cover that on another show, she says. Move on. So, Kevin also says that she's flipping me off. Ooh, giving me the double deuce.
I am
both
not.
Fingers.
You can't prove it.
Kevin also says that a majority of the top 15 sites visited by teens in January 2005 were either blogs or social networking sites, yet not porno sites, with, of course...
Yeah, no, I bet it's porn.
Yeah, which porno, I believe, is in the top 15 of nearly every church-going adult in this country. But more with Kevin trying to help us understand this stuff. Before we proceed, this is Kevin's words. Before we proceed, allow me to clarify a technical difference. When truly understood, social networking pages and actual blogs are slightly different, and it's sometimes hard to distinguish the difference between the two. Therefore, in the case of this article, we will consider them all blogs.
I love
How
that.
The...
I love that comment.
In my, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because we don't truly understand them is why we're going to call them all blogs.
Exactly.
Your readership is too stupid to understand the difference.
Right,
or
he just doesn't
understand.
Want to take the time. Or yeah,
right.
I'm banking on Kevin.
All together.
Yeah, I'm banking on Kevin not understanding.
Basket. So.
Yeah, it's a lot like saying when truly understood, Hispanics, African Americans, and other people of color are all different. Since that difference can be hard to distinguish, though, for the sake of argument, let's call them all darkies. Way to go, Kevin.
That's exactly how I read that.
But yeah, that's pretty much how I get Kevin's. That's pretty much Kevin's view on the world. I don't understand you, so you're different from me. You will be a blog today. Now, Kevin says, since blogs are so popular, how should those striving to live God's way view them?
Firefox.
The obvious. Yeah, Firefox is the best way. Best view in Firefox. The obvious dangers. I like Kevin's ominous tone here.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin goes on. One of the reasons personal weblogs have made news headlines is because child predators and pedophiles use these pages to chat with and get to know young people. No, they don't! You dumbass.
On a blog?
They don't even...
That's what IRC is for and stuff like that.
Yeah. So he goes on to say that these sick criminals, he throws in the modifier sick.
Well, I'd have to agree.
Well, of course we agree with him, but does he need to say that? These sick criminals will often portray themselves as fellow teens, trying to build friendships with other teenagers, but not on the blogs. They do this on the MySpace and then, like you said, on IRC. So again, he's already into just being completely wrong.
Yeah.
But again, with the "they will all be the same for my purposes" crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his purpose is clear. It's to lead people astray. But he goes on to say that their schemes are so elaborate that a predator will sometimes script webcam, in parentheses, camera, footage of a real teenager. So he appears as if he is that young person. I ask, where the hell did Lester the Molester get that kid? And why is that kid playing along? I think Kevin's just making this shit up as he goes along.
It's probably with puppets.
But, what's that?
It's probably with puppets.
Yeah. No, I'm a real boy.
When I wish upon a star.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
So Kevin goes on to say that before long, deceived teenagers become comfortable with this other puppet and agree to meet with him. And this has caused another term to be coined, cyber stalking, a very real danger in the 21st century. U.S. News and World Report states that one in seven young people ages 10 to 17 acknowledged receiving an online sexual solicitation in 2005.
Okay, now... what I'd like to know is how many of them were congressional pages.
Two. At least two. He goes on to say, though, that is an ever-changing, dangerous world out there. And I'd like to point out that Paul McCartney said the exact same thing years ago. And he also said if that ever-changing world got on our nerves, live and let die.
Mm-hmm.
Just live and let die. So in effect, he says, personal blogs are becoming a shopping catalog for pedophiles. Come on, Kevin.
Oh, my.
Come on.
You have to separate blog and website.
You have to separate blog and IRC.
I can understand, yes, some of the MySpace people that I went to high school with. Yeah, there's some pictures on there that are inappropriate that, of course, you know, pedophiles would probably get off looking on. But that's totally different than a blog.
Right, and good tie-in, because Kevin goes on to say that perhaps the biggest reason predators descend on teens and preteens through blogs, or in this case, it wouldn't be a blog, but MySpace, is because many young people unwisely post all sorts of private information about themselves, including full names, addresses, pictures, and even phone numbers. Often this is posted in the blogger's profile. Bullshit! It is not. Kevin seems to think so.
And this is only the first page of Kevin's rant?
Again.
Oh, yeah.
How the hell did you get through it without falling asleep?
Oh, my God. MSNBC wrote, though, he goes on to say that MSNBC reports that 60% of bloggers offer their location and contact information. I offer my location readily. I offer my contact information in the form of an email address. I also, of course, have comments where people can interact with me on my blog, as do you.
Yes.
Most people do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel threatened by that.
Not yet.
But then again, I'm not generally somebody who would be the target of stalking, as I am neither young nor attractive.
Right.
You're like, you're right. You are the most unattractive person on the planet.
I'm not going to argue with you at all. Call it like it is, brother.
That's right. But Kevin goes on to say that another reason blogs have generated headlines recently is that many parents have no idea what weblogs are, or that they even exist, or that their children have one. Which, if they don't know if their kid has blogs,
You skipped a line. It's because of these dangers. I mean, I don't know how important that is to you, but I think it's kind of funny.
Okay, well, why don't you, since you've got an in front of you. I didn't think it was that important, but why don't you go ahead and
read. Well, because of these dangers, experts have said that people should not post pictures of themselves. Like, that's going to make all the difference in the world. You know, I've got your name, I've got your address, I've got your email address, but I don't know what you look like, so I can't find you.
That's right. F off. You have to describe yourself to me. Well, you're looking for a tall, dark man, about 6'3".
Right.
Not balding at all.
Not exactly sure which experts
these are. I think the expert in this situation, if Kevin is saying there's experts out there, I think those experts are named Kevin.
Good chance of that.
Yeah. But anyway, so parents not knowing that their kids have a blog. In Kevin's world, parents just assume that their children are innocently spending time on the internet or doing schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When, of course, these devil children are actually posting to their devil blogs.
Right, or surfing
parents
before.
Have no... Or surfing for porn.
He doesn't even touch on the porn, you know?
You know, he never touches on the porn because in Kevin's world, there is no porn.
No.
But In Kevin's world, parents have no idea that when they ground their children to their rooms with their computers, they have, in effect, creating an environment ripe for online chatting and blogging. Those fucking kids. They're always getting in trouble 7-8 times a day. And have to start sitting in the crawl space, not to their room.
Plus,
they seem to like going to the
room. It's never good to blog until it's ripe.
That's right. The environment must be ripe before you begin the blogging. Yeah. And I love this next sentence. Since these networks are so connected, which is kind of the definition of a network there, Kevin, kids who are not allowed to go to parties simply create online parties. Unbeknownst to most parents.
And call up some digital.
That's right. Unbeknownst to most parents, but not all the parents, because some of the cool parents are providing online digital booze and online digital dope to these online digital parties.
Exactly.
Bad online parents. Bad. And Kevin gets close to the porn here in this sentence. Another concern, especially with the sexual pressures of today's society, is that many young teenagers or children are pushed to grow up faster than they should. Now, you're a teacher. You see this
who,
a lot.
Me?
You. Yeah. Who you? Who me? I am? Now, you do see things like this happening, but I doubt it's because of blogging.
I wouldn't say from the kids that I teach, no.
I guess.
I would guess it's a product of their environment at home, considering we have children in our neighborhood that are middle school age that are having sex on the playground. It's quite disturbing.
Yeah, and it's not like they're getting this information from blogs. Howtofuck.blogspot.com.
I could give an example of one of my students in class. We were talking about what dog could do, and I said, what could dog do? We were making a book. And he said, dog could go to the club and get drunk. And he's 6 years old.
And then go beat up some bums in the park.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So growing up faster than they should, not necessarily the fault of us devil bloggers out there.
If anything, I would actually think it's more the media, entertainment, commercials.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Leading kids to think they need to grow up quicker than they should.
Right. But see, in Kevin's world, I also don't think that Kevin really watches TVs.
Oh. Does Kevin live in a hole?
I'm starting to think that Kevin's part of a cult that lives in a hole, yes. Because he goes on to say that yet another obvious danger of blogs is the endless amount of inappropriate content often spread throughout them. Like multiple instances of the word fuck.
You should be ashamed.
I know.
Your explicit tag.
He says that this happens on a host of levels. Filthy language. Shit. Risque pictures. Well, luckily I don't have any on mine. How about on yours?
I like this. And then he ran out of ideas.
Yeah. Etc.
Etc.
I have a lot of the etc. I guarantee on sonofcheese.com there's a lot of the etc. Whatever Kevin hates, it's on there. Covered in the etc.
A little short on the risque pictures, but.
Yeah, I haven't posted any risque pictures.
Thank God.
Filthy language and etc. Oh, man. I got all of that. He goes on to say that bullying even takes place between blogs, with some using them to defame or attack other people or spread other forms of hatred, or, of course,
you bully me all the time.
I know. Well, I have no choice.
Because he is a bully.
And I'm also going to start using my blog to make fun of Kevin, because I have no choice.
But is it hatred that is driving you to do that?
Oh, you know, the only reason
desire for funny.
The only reason that I started my blog was my overwhelming hatred that just pours out of me on a daily basis.
That's what I figured.
Oh. He's a sad, sad man.
You walk across the room oozing hate.
I do. I leave little hate puddles everywhere I go.
That's a lovely visual.
Following his bullying comment, though, he does say that there's a danger of addiction. Literally, some can become so addicted to blogging, posting, and instant messaging that other parts of their lives are neglected, like eating the foods or walking the dog. Even when such people are away from their computers, they will post updates through their cell phones.
Oh, my God.
Those
he's talking about you.
Assholes.
Okay. And now, it's funny that he brings up cell phones, because I think there's more of a cell phone addiction in this country than there is
a blog. Oh, I guarantee you're right. You can't go anywhere without some dumbass talking about nothing to nobody on a damn phone, because they makes them feel important.
Yeah, and half the time they're driving, and it's just...
Oh, man, yeah, oftentimes...
I'm not worried about a blogger crashing into me while he's blogging.
It's well, yeah, that's true. What were you doing? I was posting to MySpace. I'm sorry. One of the few things that Kevin says that might actually be true, he says... Truly, blogging is a 21st century communications tool, and that's where the truth ends. He does says carrying great impact and many dangers. So I
maybe Kevin's just jealous because he didn't have this technology when he was a little boy.
You know, I think what Kevin's jealous of, and we'll get to exactly what Kevin's jealous of here in a bit, but he's jealous of people who get to write out what they feel.
You keep saying we'll get to it in a bit. How long is a bit, man? Jesus. We've been talking forever.
Kevin is a long-winded son of a bitch. And unfortunately, Colin's right.
Well, I know, but you're putting me to sleep.
That Christ. In a bit is going to have to happen on the next episode of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me this week is my wife, Heather Knight.
Peace out on the pod.
And as always, my broadcast partner, Colin Burton of fizzleandpop.com.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yes, we'll all have a great week. And you too, Kevin D. Denis. You have a great week because we'll be talking about you.